Why don't you open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. We're in this series called Grace at Work. And we only have time to look at three passages of Scripture that Paul's writing. And he's writing to the church in Corinth. He's answering some of their questions. And he's also giving them some life lessons that he's learned over his ministry and he's learned over his life. I so much appreciate the transparency of Paul and how he would talk about at a real level his struggles and some of the things that he's learned. And so he's doing that, and he's writing to the Corinthian church, and he's talking about this issue of sustaining grace, or God's sustaining grace in times of difficulty, in times of pain, in times of loss, in times of discouragement. And so we know, right, as Christians, we know that God never promised us a pain-free life, right? So who you guys been listening to? So do you guys know that God never promised us a pain-free life? Okay, right. Regardless of, I've watched spirit-filled Christians, faith-filled Christians, godly Christians, mature Christians, all go through struggles, all go through difficulty. Fact is, you look at Scripture and you can find some of the heroes of our faith in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and you realize, you know what? Those men and women, they went through some hurt and they went through some pain and they went through some betrayal and they went through some difficulty as well. I can look at my life and my life hasn't been pain-free. My life since accepting Christ till now hasn't been pain-free. I've gone through some hurts and some discouragement, some betrayal, some situations and circumstances that I may never understand. And so I can give testimony to that, and probably you too can give testimony to that. I don't think any one of us really wants to go through pain, right? I don't think really any one of us, hey, sign me up for that. You know, there's not one of us. And Paul, the interesting thing is Paul was the same way. So there's none of us that like to suffer. Paul has about 10 years left in his ministry. And he begins writing to the church there in Corinth, or Corinthia, to the Corinthians, to the church there in Corinth. He begins writing to them. And he begins answering some of their questions, and he begins helping them understand some life lessons. And Paul begins talking about this issue of suffering and some of the things that he learned. And so he begins teaching them this principle about this issue of God's sustaining grace when you and I go through suffering in life. And it just encourages me so much just to hear the transparency of Paul and of his heart. And he begins to help us understand that it's dangerous. It is dangerous to overestimate someone, right? It's dangerous to overestimate ourselves. It's dangerous to overestimate someone else. I told the story last night in the Saturday night church and then our Saturday night service, and then our family had great fun with the story last night after church over text. But when Brittany and Amanda were young, we went on a Saturday. We were running errands, and I had them in the car, and Brittany's in the front seat with me, and Amanda's in the back seat. And so we're running errands, and one thing about me that you may not know, I'm very, very, very spontaneous. I would probably prefer to be spontaneous than, like, plan anything. And so my wife, Karen, is the opposite. She would consider herself spontaneous as long as you plan being spontaneous. And then she's okay with it. You know, she's like, hey, you won't be spontaneous, you know, Saturday or whatever. And I'm like, what? You can't plan that. Spontaneous is being spontaneous. And so we're coming home from running errands. I got Amanda in the front seat with me. And so I look over at her and I, hey, you want to learn to drive? She's like, Dad, are you sure? Now listen, that's never been a good parenting moment in my life when my kids have said, Dad, you sure? They're not supposed to be the most mature one in the car. And so So I said, yeah, I'm sure. I'm the dad. I can make decisions like that. So we pulled in Roncalli Middle School in the parking lot, and I taught her to drive. It was awesome. I mean, she did well. And, no cars were in the parking lot or anything like that. She did well. After 20 minutes of successful instruction, I said, I'm ready to go home. Brittany, you just drive. Brittany, again, Dad, are you sure? Of course I'm sure. What could go wrong, right? You've done flawless in the parking lot. And so I said, and we're only a few blocks away, so what could go wrong? And so Brittany says, okay, Dad, well, I had obviously overestimated her ability. We didn't have an accident, anything like that, but we had a couple of close calls because I just realized that she had never driven with other people on the road, only in a parking lot for the last 20 minutes. And so So we get home, and we pull in the driveway, and I hear Amanda in the back seat. Amanda's like, oh, thank you, God, that we're home. Daddy, I thought I was going to meet Jesus face-to-face a couple of times. And I said, Amanda, you're just a drama queen. I'm in the desk seat. You're not. You were safe in the back. And so unfortunately, the girls made it in the house before me to tell Mom. So I took my time getting groceries and stuff like that. And so I come in, and so Karen says, hey, did you really teach Amanda to drive? And I said, yeah. She says, you know she's only 13, right? I said, seriously? I thought she was 14, about ready to turn 15. He goes, no, she's 13, about ready to turn 14. And I'm like, well, everybody knows girls mature much faster than boys. So she's like 16 in boys' years, and so we're all good, right? And so it's a danger. It's dangerous to overestimate someone's ability. It's dangerous to overestimate someone's ability, but I'm going to tell you, it's more dangerous to underestimate God in your life. It is dangerous to overestimate someone's ability, but it's more dangerous to underestimate God's ability in your life. It's dangerous when you and I, what Paul is saying, when we go through difficulty, when we go through pain, when we go through struggles, when we have those moments, for us to underestimate what God is doing in our life. A lot of times the pain and the circumstances are screaming so loud, it's hard to fathom, it's hard to see, it's hard to feel maybe sometimes that God is working in your life. And Paul comes to this place and he begins to talk about this sustaining grace in problems and sustaining grace in difficulties. And Paul begins helping them understand this principle that God never promised us a pain-free life. But God did promise us his sustaining grace that would work in our life and work in the situations. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, he writes these words to the church there in Corinthians. He says, to keep me from being conceited, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times, remember, he's reflecting back on this period of his life, and he says, well, three times, I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. In other words, he began praying the way many of us pray, change my circumstance, change that person, take it away, get rid of it. And so he says, three times I prayed that it should leave me. But God said, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon you. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with my weaknesses. That is called being comfortable in your own skin. Where you and I can come to the place and say, you know, I'm just comfortable with who I am. And he goes on and says, I'm comfortable with my weaknesses so that and I'm content with my weaknesses, insults, hardship, persecutions, and calamities. For what I've learned, for when I am weak, then I am strong. And so you have Apostle Paul that wrote the majority of the New Testament, begins reflecting on a time that he went through great pain, he went through great difficulty, and we understand this thorn, and we understand what's going on in his life, you'll realize that it was constant irritation, that it was difficulty in his life, and he began begging God, and he began pleading with God about, would you take this away? Would you change my circumstances? Would you change that person? Would you change how they're responding to me? Would you change what's going on in my life? And I just wonder what Paul wondered and what Paul discovered. I just wonder, when you and I go through adversity, when you and I go through problems, are the majority of our prayers, are we praying about the wrong thing? Are we praying for the wrong thing? Are we spending all of our time asking God to change our situation, change our circumstances, changes what we're walking through? Because see, here's what Paul discovered. Paul discovered when he reflected in the midst of his hurt, in the midst of his pain, that the majority of his prayers, he was just praying for some relief. He was just praying that God would change his circumstances. He was just praying that God would give him relief or change someone or take something away. That God, this hurts. I just want you to take it away. Take it away. And God, instead of taking it away, responded to him and said, instead of changing your circumstances, in other words, Paul, I'm not going to give you what you wanted. I'm going to give you what you need. And what you need is is my grace. What you need is my sustaining grace. Fact is, verse 9, he said, but he said to me, God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I have three things and three principles that we need to understand this morning about this issue of how to walk through adversity and how to walk through difficulty. But one thing that I know about all of us, regardless of the circumstance, regardless of the situations that you're walking through right now, God's sustaining grace is enough. God's sustaining grace in your relationships and God's sustaining grace in your relationship and in your circumstances or in your adversity or in your pain or in your questions or whatever, God's sustaining grace is enough. So three principles that we have to remember when we walk through pain, when we walk through problems and we have those questions. The first one is this: God has a plan. That God has a plan for my life, and God has a plan for my life even in my difficult circumstances, even in my questions. That God has a plan for me. Have you ever noticed whenever we have pain or whenever we have problems in our life, we're tempted to act as if God is not involved? In other words, what happens is we overestimate ourselves and we underestimate God. And it is dangerous to underestimate God. Fact is, the truth is this, you and I cannot overestimate God and His power in your life, because God's power is limitless. I mean, God's power is infinite. And so we need to learn not to underestimate what God is doing in our life, because when we go through pain and when we go through problems and we begin to underestimate God because our pain is so great, we often begin to complain, or we just become angry, or we just become negative and bitter, and our words are so poisonous, or we worry, or we have fear about the future. Telling you, whenever you overestimate your circumstances, you overestimate yourself, and you underestimate what God is doing or the potential that God can do in your life, you will always develop in those circumstances bitterness and resentfulness and unforgiveness and all those other things. See, here's what Paul understood. Paul came to the place in his life that Paul understood that, guess what? God's sovereign. God is sovereign even in my difficult circumstances. God's sovereign. When I look back over my life, God is sovereign because He had a plan for my life, and there was something that He was trying to do in my life. But the problem is, so many believers, that when they have problems and circumstances in their life, they just break and run, and they try to get out from under them. And Paul, fortunately, he remained under the circumstances. And God taught him to some things, and God taught him that even in my problems, and even my, God's in control. Verse 7, he says this. He said about the plan, he says, so to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was like given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. In the Greek, that word given, that means to give on one's accord, in accordance with God's will. That's the same word given that we would say to give God praise. In other words, it's in accordance with His will. In other words, Paul just came to that place in the midst of his circumstances, adversity. He came to that place to say, you know what, this just wasn't a run of bad luck. This wasn't just some freak thing that happened. This wasn't just some accident that happened. That as I reflect back on my life and I see that God had a plan for me. Listen, God's plan for you and God's plan for me, the same as with Paul, is that we would be able to glorify Him and give Him honor and glory in our successes, in our good times, and in the difficult times, in the bad times. That God desires to use the good, the bad, and the ugly in our life. Now, there's a lot of people that will tell you that when you go through adversity, it's worldly wisdom. There are a lot of people that will tell you that when you go through bad times in your life and you're going through adversity, then you know what they tell you? They'll say, you know what you should do? Just follow your heart. You know what you should do? Just follow your heart. Can I just tell you, as your pastor, that's like the dumbest advice ever. And I mean that with love, okay? But that's like the dumbest advice ever, to just to tell someone, you know what, just follow your heart. What does that mean? What does it mean to follow your heart? Well, you know what? Just observing people. Here's what I think it means. I think when someone tells you, or when someone says, I'm just going to follow your heart, you know what that means? They're saying, do whatever you want to do and it'll be good. That follow your heart means that you just give yourself permission. However you think you should handle that, whatever you think you should do, you just do it and it'll all be good. And people believe that theology as long as they're the ones following their heart. But when the day comes that someone else follows their heart and hurts them and betrays them, then they understand the breakdown in that theology. See, the world tells you, just follow your heart when you get into those situations. But listen, let me tell you something. It is dangerous to overestimate your heart. It is dangerous to overestimate your feelings and your emotions. I don't know if you've learned this or not. Your heart will lie to you. Your heart will deceive you. When you're going through problems, when you're going through stress, when you're going through difficult circumstances, and you just want some relief, and you just want out from under them, your heart will lie to you, your heart will deceive you, your heart will tell you, just do whatever you feel like doing, and it'll all be good in the end. Listen, let me tell you something. I don't know if you're like me, but when I go through hurt, and I go through pain, and I go through adversity, my emotions can be all over the place of how I should respond. And I've learned, I don't want to follow my heart. I want to check my heart. And I want to check my heart with His Word. That's why life journaling and that's why life groups are so important in your life, so that you're able to take those emotions and take the things that you want to do and see if they line up with the cross, see if they line up with the Word. See, Paul was at this place in his life, and he's just praying, God, just take it away. The Bible says that Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Now, theologians argue all the time about what this thorn in the flesh was. Was it an individual? Was it a circumstance? Was it a situation? What was it? Most theologians believe, because of a couple of scriptures, that Paul's thorn in the flesh was he had his vision was deteriorating. His vision was getting really, really bad. But nobody knows for sure what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. But here's what we know about a thorn in the flesh. See, in the Greek, a thorn, the Greek word that we use for his thorn in the flesh, literally means this, a hook with a barb on it. There's a picture of a fishing hook, that when the hook sinks into the skin, the barb pulls against the flesh, and that it's constant irritation, it's constant pain. So we know whatever Paul was going through, this wasn't some little hurt, this wasn't some little discomfort, that this was something that was just constant pain or constant irritation. So the first thing that we got to understand when we go through adversity, when we go through difficulty, is guess what? God has a plan for me. God has a plan for me in difficult circumstances and in great circumstances, that God has a plan individually for me. The second thing is this, is that when we go through circumstances in life that are hurtful or painful, we got to remember God has a purpose. God has a purpose for everything that comes into my life. Fact is, everything that comes into my life, what Scripture says, God is sovereign, and it's filtered through His hand. It's filtered through, in other words, He has to give permission. Again, verse 7, you just begin to see this purpose. Paul again says, so to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me. So here's the purpose, to keep me from being conceited, to keep me from being prideful, to keep me from being arrogant. In other words, Paul realized, looking back on his life, that there was a purpose behind my problems. In other words, what Paul learned was this, God knows what we need much more than what we do. A lot of times we think we know what we need. God, just take this situation around away from me. Take this circumstance away from me. But God knows what we need sometimes, or all the times instead of sometimes. He knows what we need more than we do. I mean, we know this, right? If God gave us everything that we wanted, if God gave us everything that we desired, it would not make us more humble, right? It would make us arrogant. It would make us conceited. It would make us proud. It would make us selfish. It would make us self-centered to where we always overestimated ourselves and underestimated Him. But God knows exactly how much success and prosperity you and I can handle. He knows exactly what we need. And listen, let me tell you something. Back to the heart deal. And I just said this in passing Saturday night, and then people lined up and said, hey, you got to say that on Sunday. Don't just say that Saturday night. It's one of those things that wasn't in my notes. And but back to the heart thing. Sometimes when we go through adversity or we go through pain, our heart envies somebody else's situation, and we want the blessing that they have. But can I just tell you this? You cannot take someone's blessing without taking their thorn. You just can't take someone's blessing and says, hey, I just want all the blessings that I have, that they have. But I don't want any of their problems. I don't want this. It's a package deal. It's a package deal. And sometimes we envy, and sometimes we look at someone else, and we look at the blessing that they have, and we may not even know about the thorn that they're carrying. Listen, let me tell you something. Yeah, that's why the Bible says. That's why the Bible says we give grace to one another. We'll talk about this later in this series. That's why the Bible says we give grace to one another. We cut each other some slack, because we never know the thorn that someone's carrying. We may never know the thorn that a husband or wife is carrying, a friend that's carrying, a child that's carrying. We may never know the thorn that someone's carrying. They've been carrying that since childhood, or they've been carrying that out of a relationship, or they've been carrying that many years. See, God's primary goal in our life is not to make us, or to give us, or to make us comfortable, as much as to develop our character and to develop us. And Psalms 119:67 says this. He said, before I was afflicted, in other words, when I used to follow my heart, when I used to do whatever my heart told me to do, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, I have a changed life. But now, I not only keep your word, but I trust your word. In other words, I don't trust my heart, I trust your word, and I check my heart. And I check my heart with your word to make sure it lines up. I mean, the psalmist gave testimony that many of us could give testimony, that before I was afflicted, and that in affliction or in difficulty and hurt or pain, that's when I learned to trust God. Many of us, we don't learn to trust God until God is all we have. To where everything else, our foundations are crumbling around us, and situations are crumbling around us, and we realize that, guess what? God's all I got. See, in pain and in circumstances and in difficulty, God wants to develop your character like He did with Paul. End of verse 7, He just said, to keep me from becoming conceited. In other words, that God was protecting Paul in those times, and He was protecting Paul from pride, and He was protecting Paul from overestimating what he could do and underestimating what God could do through the circumstances. He was teaching Paul how to have dependency on God. He was refining Paul's character. Listen, I don't know if you're like this. I can give testimony to this, that sometimes the greatest spiritual growth in my life came when I was down and out. Came when there were some hurtful situations or circumstances going on in my life. And all of a sudden, it forced me to press more into Him and press more into His Word. And I mean, you just see in Paul's life in these verses that God began to release His provisions into Paul's life. Verse 8 again, he says, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. I mean, this is deep prayer. The Greek definition for the word pleaded means to this, to call to one side. And for comfort and for encouragement. In other words, it's experienced the presence of God. In other words, it's Paul coming into the presence of God and calling to one side God in a very close way. Listen, all of a sudden, God begins to develop Paul's character. And He begins to teach Paul, you don't trust your circumstances. You learn to trust Me. Listen, God had a plan and He had a purpose for Paul's life. And if Paul hadn't learned these principles in his life, Paul would have never gone to Rome. Paul would have never done the things that God had called him to do. And you see that God not only releases his power, his provisions in Paul's life, but he begins to release his power. Verse 9, he says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me.'" In other words, what Paul learned is God will display his power and our weakness when we're totally dependent upon him. And the question is, are you dependent upon him? Are you trusting God with your life? Are you trusting God with your marriage? Are you trusting God with your relationships? Are you trusting God with your finances? Are you trusting God in ministry? Are you only trying to do what only you can do? But are you really trusting him? I mean, that's where we are as a church, right? As we trust God, as we relocate. I mean, I talk through the vision desserts about that God will make a way, and God's been making a way here at Fellowship of the Rockies for 20 years, and we're just going to trust him, and he's going to make a way. A couple of weeks ago, I read a quote that Stephen Furtick said. This is his quote. This is not my quote. But Stephen Furtick said this, that yes, God will make a way, but you have to make the climb. And we know as a church that God will make a way, but right now we're making the climb together, right? And we're giving, and we're sacrificing, and we're praying. But the same is true in your circumstances. The same is true in your problems. God will make a way, but you have to make the climb. That's what Paul is doing. And Paul is making the climb, and he's making the climb personally, and he's pleading to the Lord, and he's calling to one side. He's coming into the presence of God, and he's praying to him. The third and the last principle is this, is that in our problems and in our adversity, God gives his grace. That God gives his grace. I mean, Paul is hurting, and he's prayed like many of us have prayed. God, something is broken. Would you fix it? God, I'm hurting. Would you take care of it? Would you remove it from me? In verse 9, he says, but here's God's answer. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In other words, this issue of God's sustaining grace in our problems and God's sustaining grace in our circumstances is that his grace, his sustaining grace, gives us total security. That we understand that our security does not rest in our circumstances. It does not rest in what's happening around us. But our confidence rests in him. I mean, the scripture says, Paul actually wrote in Romans 14:8, he wrote this, he says, "For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's." Regardless of what happens, we're his. We're his son, we're his daughter, we are his. We don't get kicked out of the family. We don't get removed. See, a lot of times when we go through hurt and pain, the pain is screaming so loud about it, loud at us. The pain is so loud in our life that we underestimate what God is doing. We feel like he's on vacation and kind of left us home alone to fend for ourselves. But grace helps us to understand that he is with us. It also gives us total access to God. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, so we may receive mercy and find grace to help us when?" To find grace to help us in our time of need. In other words, his sustaining grace. His grace that empowers us. His grace that empowers us to walk through problems. That's why Paul says, For when I am weak, I am strong. Because of his sustaining grace. Listen, you cannot love people who have hurt you without Jesus. You cannot even witness to unbelievers in the office or your school or your neighborhood or your family without a relationship with Jesus Christ. Scripture even says you cannot even please God without a relationship with Jesus Christ. You cannot overcome sin. You cannot overcome your heart and your life without Christ. You cannot face an uncertain future with certainty without God. And when you look at this, Paul ends this and he says, and in verse 10, he says, "For the sake of Christ then," and this is just huge in his life, this is just a huge testimony, "I am content. I am content in my own skin. I am content with my weaknesses. insults, hardship, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. In other words, insults are those things that come from without that injure or harm or damage a person or property. Hardships comes from like the wickedness of men, and persecutions are those people that kind of like pursue you, and they're talking about you, they're gossiping about you, they're slandering you. And difficulties are those things that we walk through of life's difficulties and circumstances and our calamities. Listen, I'm telling you, the scripture says, if you'll trust him, just like in Paul's life, if you will just trust him, and he'll give you sustaining grace in your problems. People ask all the time, or we talk all the time about the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians were written in some of the darkest days of Paul's life. I mean, he was in prison. He wrote about joy. Can you imagine what would happen if you take the difficulties that Paul went through in life away? Do you realize the scriptures that we would have lost in the Bible? We wouldn't have the book of Philippians. See, it was in difficulty, it was in prison, that Paul says, I have learned this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It was in that midst of difficulty that Paul wrote and that Paul said that I've learned. Then when I look back over my life, everything that I've lost, I consider it just rubbish in comparison just to knowing Christ and his what he's done for me. My Aunt Betty, I told you when we started this series out, my Aunt Betty in 1978 gave me this Bible. It'd be a few years later that I would actually meet Christ. She was concerned about me. She was worried about me. And two things she wrote. She wrote a personal note to me. And then in the back, she wrote how to become a Christian. I used this, and I've told you, the first sermon my Aunt Betty actually wrote, even though she passed away a few years ago. And then, interestingly enough, she listed this just as a reminder to me, and I've just never forgotten this, just as a reminder to me that God did not promise us a pain-free life, but he did promise us his sustaining grace through everything. And she titled it Martyred Heroes of the Faith. And she just gave a history. John the Baptist beheaded. James and Paul beheaded. Stephen stoned to death. Matthew slain in Ethiopia. Mark dragged through the city streets until death. Matthias and Luke were both stoned, then hanged. Peter crucified upside down. Simon crucified. Philip crucified and stoned. Andrew tied to the cross. Bartholomew filleted alive. Thomas pierced with lances. James, the lesser brother of Jesus, thrown from the temple and beaten to death. Jude was shot to death by arrows. Can you imagine what Scripture would have looked like if these guys had have never suffered, if these guys had have never gone through difficulty? I'm telling you, God desires to use your suffering, your difficulties, your adversity for his glory. Anybody can praise God in the good times. But there's something that is real about that person that can praise him through the storms, through the difficulties of life. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes? With your heads bowed and eyes closed, let me ask you, what is God saying to you as a result of his word? What is he saying to you as a result of this message? Every one of us has a next step, and maybe your next step is a first step to where you just come to the place to where you just accept him and ask him to come into your life. Maybe he's been using circumstances in your life just to bring you to the place that you just finally just surrender your life to him and say, I'm just tired. I'm tired of following my heart. I'm tired of listening to my heart. I want to learn to be able to check my heart. And I just want to stay faithful to you. And I just want you to come into my life and forgive me my sins. Maybe this morning you're a believer. And maybe you're walking through some circumstances that you really don't understand that are difficult. What is your next step? Do you need to remember that He has a plan and He has a purpose and He has sustaining grace to sustain you through these times? Maybe you're here this morning and you say, you know what, I just have a prayer request. I'm carrying a burden. I need someone to pray for me. It may have something to do with what I just talked about. It may have nothing to do with what I just talked about. That doesn't matter. What matters is this, is you have a burden. You'd say, I just need prayer. I just need someone to pray for me. Add their faith to my faith. Much like Paul did when he just pleaded. In other words, he called to one side the presence of God in his situation, in his circumstances. So maybe that's you this morning. So if you need prayer in any area of your life and you're carrying that burden, in just a few minutes after I pray, we're going to stand. And when we stand, if you need prayer, I'm just going to invite you that you stand up. Would you just step out? Would you begin making your way down to the front? You don't have to walk alone. We'll have people walking with you. We'll have people that greet you down here. We have story after story what God has done in the front of this room when people just humbled themselves and just asked for prayer. And you shouldn't be embarrassed that you need prayer. All of us need prayer. I need prayer. Paul needed prayer. And you need prayer. So if you need prayer, you come after I pray. Father, we thank you for today. Father, we thank you for your love and we thank you for your grace. Father, we just thank you for the power of your word and the power of your name. And Father, we thank you that you're sovereign and that everything that we walk through, you have a plan and you have a purpose. And your sustaining grace is offered to us. And may we receive that. And Father, I just pray for those that have a prayer request or a burden. I just pray they'd respond to you. And they'd know that you're right here with them. And would they find comfort and would they find encouragement and would they find support this morning? Would they know this is a safe place? May we minister to one another now in these moments. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.